This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The Institute for Highway Safety made national news this week with the much-touted release of their study, which I put in air quotes, that with the conclusion that red light cameras are a great thing, and that we need them at all intersections, and that they save lives. Richard Diamond is an editor at the Washington Times. He's been studying red light cameras for over a decade, and he joins me live on the program. Richard, before we get into specifics, what was your initial sort of gut reaction to all the press that this study was getting this week?
Well, the first reaction is, I can't believe how many outlets are willing to just report at face value that, hey, had red light cameras been on every street corner, there would be 815 lives saved.
Yeah, there were very few questions asked by even, you know, big networks. It was sort of they just went with the press release and never really challenged the conclusions of the report.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about the report is if you spend about 5 minutes reading it, you suddenly realize, wow, this thing is paper thin. It's like a high school term paper.
So tell us now what you learned when you actually did read this report and read it very closely. What makes it paper thin and full of holes?
Well, it's very simple. I'd actually urge listeners who really want to follow up on this to go and download a copy of this. It's at IIHS.org and turn to page 9 of the study. And you'll find the sentence. Remember that this is a study about red light cameras that's being portrayed in the media as the most comprehensive study ever done. It's definitive. It proves once and for all that, you know, red light cameras save lives. And if you read on the first full paragraph on page 9, this sentence, and I'm quoting directly, attempts were made to obtain historical information on the number of red light cameras in the study cities, but information on the scope of red light programs could not be obtained for many of the cities. Historical information was also sought on the number of signalized intersections, but was unavailable in many cities. Okay, so what that passage is telling you is they don't know how many red light cameras were in the cities that they studied. This is a study of red light cameras that doesn't know the question, answer to the question, actually, how many red light cameras did you study?
We're talking with Richard Diamond. And they also come to the conclusion they credit red light cameras with reducing accidents at intersections where there are no red light cameras.
Right. Well, here's why they do that, because they don't even know how many red light cameras there are in each city. So they couldn't answer they couldn't answer that question even if they wanted to. So here's what's going on. They looked at 14 cities out of 500. 500 cities have red light cameras. They looked at 14. Then this is supposed to be groundbreaking and comprehensive. Don't ask me how they get away with that, but they do anyway. And they look at what was the accident rate between 2004 and 2008, and they compare it with the accidents that happened in like 1996, 1992 to 1996. So there's an 8-year separation between the comparisons. And, you know, as anybody knows, there's a lot of difference between, you know, the way a community looks today and the way it looked in 1992.
Yeah, you might as well be picking, 62 to 66.
Yeah, and even cars themselves have changed quite a bit. You know, today, most all cars, in fact, pretty soon, all cars will have stability control. Anti-lock brakes is now a lot more common. You know, it used to be a luxury item, only found on luxury and, high-end sports cars. Now, most cars have it. So all those new technologies, crumple zones, lead to safer, more survivable accidents. You know, you walk away today from a lot more accidents than you would have years ago. And so what the Insurance Institute did is they took all this difference in safety, and they said, well, it must be the cameras. The city had a camera, and accidents went down, so it had to be the camera.
Yeah, it's like, boy, that rooster crows. That rooster is actually bringing the sun up. Isn't that amazing? We're talking with Richard Diamond about the study released this week from the Institute for Highway Safety that sings the praises of red light cameras. Richard, remind us why such a study might come from the Institute for Highway Safety.
Well, so some people like to call it IIHS, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, but a lot of people like to call it the Insurance Institute for Higher Surcharges, because these are the people who raise your rates when you get a ticket. And so this IIHS is funded by, you know, State Farm, Allstate, Geico, Nationwide, AAA, which is an insurance company, first and foremost. All those companies fund IIHS, and they're not out there to do anything but increase their bottom line. And red light camera tickets in California, in Arizona, speed camera tickets in Illinois, they all come with license points. So when those tickets go out, IIHS and their parent companies, they make a lot of money. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions.
Yeah. So they like reports and studies. And we should say that nearly every single study, in fact, I think all of them, that have sung the praises of red light cameras have come from this organization, which is the PR arm of the insurance companies. And yet other studies that you can tell us about really raise very serious questions about the use of red light cameras.
Right. The studies that kind of claim red light cameras save lives, they all come from either the Insurance Institute or they're commissioned specially by cities that have red light camera programs. You know, so in other words, as long as the money is coming from somebody who's making money off the cameras, the result, not surprisingly, is very positive. However, on the other hand, when you take a independent look, the data is far, far more negative. And for Virginia, the Virginia Department of Transportation and the University of Virginia got together and they made a study over 6 years. They actually counted the number of red light cameras in Virginia. They knew the yellow time at each intersection. They knew the traffic flow. They knew the population density and growth. They had measurements. They had diagrams of every single intersection. They pulled every accident report. And they examined each accident report. That's how much work went into this VDOT report. And it found that accidents and injuries went up wherever the cameras were used. And that's generally what you find when you don't just say, hey, the whole city, accidents went down. You actually look at the intersection that has cameras, and you'll find Arlington had a 139% increase in rear-end accidents. That accidents overall in Fairfax County went up 23%. In Falls Church, rear-end accidents went up 136%. In Vienna, injury accidents went up 59%. You know, those are facts. And, they're not predictions of it would have saved. You know, they're just completely made up.
Yeah. We're talking with Richard Diamond. You can read his work on this study at thenewspaper.com. And yet, you know, Richard, when I have presented this kind of information to the members of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, they just say, well, you know, we know this information is out there, but let's just leave these cameras there and see how it goes. They're literally saying we're just going to sit on our hands and watch what happens.
Yeah, well, they have a financial reason to do so. They get two things out of cameras. One, they get the revenue. In Virginia, the $50 ticket doesn't generate as much revenue as the California programs, where the tickets are $500 each. But the other thing they get is they can go around and say, I'm doing something. There's a problem in the community, and I'm doing something about it. They can point to the box that they put up on the intersection. Look, here's a government program, and I've got it on my resume. I started a red light camera program, and that's the kind of thing that government too many times is just addicted to the idea that they have to do something, whereas the better solution would be to implement engineering changes that, they're harder to point to. You can lengthen the yellow time, reduce accidents, improve traffic flow, synchronize the lights, but that's a lot less visible than, a box that they can point to the I don't know, the minority of residents who actually like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Richard, tell us about what's happening in Falls Church. You wrote a recent editorial about the use of red light cameras in that part of Virginia.
Right, yeah. You can read it today's Washington Times, the washingtontimes.com. The city of Falls Church just started last month issuing red light camera tickets. And like in Albemarle, we went and checked the engineering studies that the city filed with VDOT before they put the cameras in. And what we found was the two intersections that Falls Church chose were intersections that had an average of one red light camera, or sorry, red light running related accident in an entire year. Okay. And it had six times as many rear end accidents at these locations. So the best you could possibly hope for is that, you know, the red light camera is meant to address the red light running accidents, right? The best you could do is solve one accident a year and you're putting up a camera. But we also know that in Falls Church, rear end accidents, the last time they tried them, increased 136%. So what Falls Church did was they introduced cameras in a location with a rear end accident problem. And the solution they picked to that is a solution known to increase rear-end accidents, doubling them, more than doubling them. You know, and that's outrageous. But what's worse, it gets worse. The Virginia Department of Transportation turned down Falls Church's request. The cameras that they wanted to install, they had two more intersections that had no accidents or no rear-end. I mean, sorry, no red light running related accidents at all, like zero. So they wanted cameras up at places that had no accidents at all.
What? And clearly there is no rationale for it other than we got a lot of traffic at this intersection and we're going to make a lot of money off the camera.
Yeah, when I asked VDOT, why did you allow them to put up a camera at a location with so few red light, red light running related accidents? They said, and specifically in relation to Albemarle. And you know what the answer was? There's a lot of violations there. So in Albemarle, VDOT said there are no, they admitted, yeah, there's no red light running related accidents, but the camera has to go up because there's lots of violations. They're putting it up for the money.
Yeah. They admitted it as such, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. And you know what? I will tell you. You know what? I'm also amazed by, and I guess I shouldn't be because this is America. But I'm amazed that people aren't really as outraged about this as I would think they would be because they're so being so blatantly scammed. And yet, you know, where are the letters to the editor? Where are the people at the public hearings? You just don't see it. We might see it at the next cycle of elections. I would hope that we would, because I think somebody that stands up and says, you know, I'm taking these Australian cameras down out of our neighborhood would really get a lot of votes.
Well, it happens. I mean, the around the country, the backlash is really hitting. So far, there have been 15 cities where people have risen up and thrown the cameras out. And the biggest of those cities so far is Houston, which is America's fourth biggest city. Right now in Washington State, there are four cities that are simultaneously running referendum petitions to throw out the cameras. And in Washington State, the legislators are so afraid of that on Friday they're going to vote on a bill in committee that would ban red light cameras entirely. And in fact, in Virginia, I think you've already spoken with the legislator who wants to do the same thing in Virginia.
Yeah, we're due to speak to him tomorrow, I believe. Scott Lingenfelter has proposed legislation in Virginia that would halt any further installations of new cameras, but would grandfather in existing cameras and allow them to remain.
Yeah, but that's only happening because, the public is starting to get wise to the scam.
Yeah, and they're getting more informed thanks to research like the research that you do. Richard, before we let you go, what's this about Washington, D.C. wants to install crosswalk cameras? And I guess the question is, will something like that ever come to Virginia? What exactly is a crosswalk camera?
What the idea is, they're trying to think the district government is trying to think of how whatever ways it could use automation to make money. And since it's a one-party government there, you know, somebody who has an idea can just implement it. And the idea is kind of there are two separate ideas. One is anybody who's gets stuck in the middle of an intersection, you know, quote, blocks the box, you know, the camera will take a photo and mail you a ticket. That's in the works. The other one is these bus-only lanes. They want to mail you a ticket if you make a right turn by cutting into these lanes that are set aside for buses only. That's actually implemented right now in New York City, and it's on the way in California, in San Francisco. And D.C. wants to do that, too. And the third thing is the crosswalk camera. And I think that's going to be a little more labor-intensive, because what they're going to have to do is, if you make like a right-hand turn and there's somebody in the crosswalk, you know, they're going to take a photo and mail you a ticket. So, you know, don't be surprised if there's some undercover D.C. city worker, you know, like a meter maid whose job is specifically to go out there and stand in the intersection right when you're making a turn.
Yeah.
Richard Diamond, read his work in the Washington Times and online at thenewspaper.com. Richard, always great to talk to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.